The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. And good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Bum, 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 bum. Ladies and gentlemen, Jurassic Park is back in IMAX and 3D, and to pay homage to the return of John Hammond's dream, we are broadcasting this special Max Fun Drive episode of My Brother, Me in IMAX and 3D and shit. What's a box?
4D.
No, what's a box?
Tesseract.
Tesseract sound and
yeah.
What's
the sound folds the space between your ears.
D-Box. We got D-Box in it. And also lasers are in it.
So it's much like the Jurassic Park relaunch. It's the same fucking movie. So, yeah, I guess $13 for a ticket for a movie I already saw. Okay.
That's cool. Did you change anything?
Did you change anything?
It'd also be a lot more laughable now whenever they talk about hacking and her computer skills and the internet.
Yeah.
Unix? What's that? No one knows.
Reading the fucking reviews of this 40-year-old movie that has been re-released. This is here's an excerpt from Richard Corliss, Time Magazine's movie critic. The 3D process adds not just dimension, but depth. A technological extension of cinematographer Greg Toland's deep focus innovations in the Grapes of Wrath and Citizen Kane. The change in perspective creates greater intensity. Thanks, Dick. How's the fucking dinosaurs?
How do they look?
The depth in the and the field of focus is unlike anything I've ever seen in the original Jurassic Park. Just tell me about the fucking velociraptors.
How sick are they? Are they still awesome?
Here's what would totally make me go see that movie. If they added a short scene at the beginning with people, you know, digging in South America for the amber stuff, and they uncover a chunk of amber with a movie reel in it, and they're like, we can remake it. I would watch
that. We can do this again. Jurassic Park was impressive in 1993. 20 years later, it's flawless. Same fucking movie, dog. I didn't see it in 1993 going, where's my crispness? I actually slept through it because I was six.
You're so little. My joke that I have been leaning on and really deploying a lot recently is, and I actually just got a chance to do this yesterday. I was at the Tri-State Comic Book Convention, and someone told, I was there with Sydney, and we ran into a friend of hers, a co-worker, actually. He said, we're gonna finish here, and then I'm gonna go see Jurassic Park. And I said, oh man, you're just gonna love it. It's really tense, and there's dinosaurs and stuff. I don't know how you've missed it this long.
Spoiler alert. Life finds a way.
What's the joke?
The joke is that everybody's already seen Jurassic Park, so it's not like he's like seeing it. You know, he didn't laugh either.
Are you the same person that, like, when Titanic came out, you're like, I hear the boat sinks at the end. Sorry,
yeah,
spoiler
exactly.
alert.
I hear
you're
the boat
a horrible person.
You're one of those fucking dicks.
You're a horrible person.
I'm not, like, ruining the plot or anything. Hey, this is an advice show where we take your questions and turn them alchemy-like into wisdom. I want to start off with a question, and then we'll do other questions, and then I will
see where it goes.
Recording. Just see where it goes.
This is also, we should mention the second week of our Max Fun Drive 2 week long spectacular. You're going to get a bonus length app this week, and we're going to tell you all about how important Justin just ejaculated.
It is untenable to do this show for an hour, but like I have to tell you guys, when you're staring down the barrel of like an hour and 15 minutes of goofs, it is simply incomprehensible to me. I don't know how I'm going to be funny that long.
Well, it's going to be incomprehensible to our listeners as well. We'll see if they kick it with us for an hour 15.
Relax with us and kick it. Here's our first
question. Here's what we'll do. We'll just keep going until you all drop out.
Right? We're going to keep the show going, and you just bail whenever.
Yeah.
We're playing chicken with you right now, dear
listeners. No friction. Zero friction. It's a free podcast. You don't have to, you know, You're not paying us. You should. Max Fun Drive 2013.
Here's our first question. My girlfriend and I recently got into a bit of a tiff over a TV spoiler. She just started watching The X-Files, and I offhandedly mentioned that I heard it was no good after David Duchovny left.
What the fuck? What?
I didn't know that either.
Bro. I've only seen like 4 seasons of X-Files.
What the fuck?
It was so bad when the Terminator showed up and started killing everyone.
Where does he go?
David Duchovny? He went to do Californication.
Yeah, have fun solving these alien mysteries. I'm going to go get my dick wet on the rig every day.
I'm going to go have sex with Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Is that real?
Yeah.
No, I think she plays his daughter on the show.
Is that how it is?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I hear it's pornographic.
You're guessing then.
Is she allowed to when they're cut up like that, can one of them even continue on the X-Files?
I don't think so.
They're like, sorry, you're down to the J-Files now.
I don't think you're ready for the X-Files anymore.
When you had two of you, you were prepped. You had the faculties. Now I'm going to bump you down to J. Maybe R, if you're good.
So she got a bit annoyed and considered it a spoiler, and he just considered it common knowledge about the program and its history.
Nope.
I wouldn't think it's a spoiler to say that Steve Carell eventually leaves The Office or that Doctor Who eventually regenerates. They just seem like facts about the show. Brothers, what constitutes a spoiler? And that's from Spoiled in South Slope.
I think it has to do with our modern age, with this modern era that we're trying to fucking get people through every day, through this wasteland that we're leading the Underground Railroad through, it's the internet. Like everything, it's the internet. Because in 1980, when this fucking X-Files show was on, there was no internet. So David Duchovny left, you didn't know about it. The only way you could watch it is on TV or on VHS that your dad recorded.
I remember when it was on in 1980, too.
Yeah.
It was good years.
It's a super old show, is what I'm saying. Office, Steve Carell leaves the show. Fucking people are on the street with it tattooed on their goddamn face. They have a hyperlink to a Huffington Post article about Steve Carell leaving tattooed on their face.
This is also different, everybody though, because that has happened since. Like, okay, I don't think you could have escaped the news of Steve Carell leaving The Office. That happened post-internet age. David Duchovny leaving The X-Files, though, that was a long time ago. That was probably before the internet.
But, Justin, to finish out your argument, that's like saying, like, Darth is Luke's father. Oh, what the shit? Spoiler alert, man.
That is a spoiler. I don't know why you do that.
I'm sorry. I didn't say his last name. It could be Darth anybody.
You could still spoil Lost for people, is what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I could still... I still think that Lost spoilers are like in effect. I feel like.
So there's a hierarchy, right? Let's rank them. Number one, Breaking Bad. If you fucking say anything that has ever happened throughout the fullness of Breaking Bad, you're a bag of dicks.
I will say that the difference is that's still running.
It's not.
What I'm saying. That's the. Yeah. I'm establishing the worst thing you can do, and to me that is Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Even like Game of Thrones is books, so like people can read that shit if they want to know. You know what I mean? Breaking Bad, number one. And then, I mean, it goes down the whole AMC list, right? I've never watched Mad Men. If somebody told me shit about Mad Men, I'd be upset because I'm going to get there one day.
You'll get there eventually. What is it that you're waiting for? I'm curious.
I'm waiting for I watch an episode and just the way they treat those women is just like...
It's too much for you.
It really is too much. I'm watching it. I'm like, Beyonce, Baby, I'm sorry that things were like this back then. And they still are like this in parts of the world. Third world, second world countries, developing nations, California, Californication.
Sometimes spending too long in a world without internet, even via television or ironically the internet, makes you feel like fucking claustrophobic. When I look at them and I realize that is a phone on their desk and it is not anything other than a phone on their desk, and that's how they do their work, and if they need to I get a little, it's a little much for me. It's a little dour.
Yeah.
That's what makes The Amazing Race so difficult, because they're in these countries. Get exposed to what people are living like in other, and some people are like, I saw people on that show dancing, and it didn't seem to be for like money or anything. They just seem to be dancing to pass the time.
Yeah.
Boring.
Well, it's also the most beautiful thing. It's the most beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing in the world that people are just dancing for the feel of it.
Not
you know
for
what
tips
I mean?
Or anything.
No.
Well.
Okay. Weird.
Actually, in this scenario,
in this particular challenge, they had to get $10 in tips before they could bounce. But
okay, yeah. Okay,
cool. 100 rand, if memory serves.
I would say the funny thing of this question is the opposite side of this question is when you start watching a show after it's already been on like 10. She can't roll up to her friends and be like, "Oh my god, you guys, I just found this new show. It's called X-Files. You should all check it out."
But like, okay, I think there's a converse relation to the statute of limitations ending, mm-hmm. and the value of like talking about it.
I think it's just diminishing. Be fucking polite. Like, have you watched X-Files? Yes, man. When Chovny leaves, mm-hmm. it really takes a nosedive. Yeah, I know. I was there when that happened, so I can talk to you about it. Hey, have you seen X-Files? No, I haven't. Well, then I'm not going to tell you about the things.
Hey, and Guy, can I just, like, double underline that what you said about it? She said she's enjoying this new program, uh-huh. and for you to come along and be like, oh, enjoy it while it lasts, because I hear it gets shitty, it drives me fucking crazy when people do that.
Yeah.
They'll try to do any discussion of the West Wing. It is always like
five.
Just make
time.
Sure you stop watching before after season five. Like,
well,
fuck
those people
because
6 and 7 gets good. Oh. But
six
that
pop off. But
the thing is about West Wing, and I'm sure other shows are like this too. Is it takes persistence. I fucked up my first time watching West Wing. I watched that fucking episode in season 5. Ugh, that fucking episode where he's like, shut it down. And then I did shut down my Xbox, and I stopped watching the goddamn television program because it was so bad.
No, I mean, it gets crazy, and John Goodman's president for a while. It gets fucking
nuts. It is crazy,
nuts.
Boss.
But
here's the thing.
We just spoiled. You just fucking spoiled something, Justin.
Justin?
What?
You just fucking, somebody's listening right now that's on season 4.5 of West Wing. Like, can't wait to experience this in my own, in real time. And you just fucking looped
them. It's
gonna
be such a heightened, no, it is, I have heightened the experience. Because if you're watching West Wing and constantly wondering, is this when John Goodman becomes president?
Does he is he bit by John Goodman and at the full moon he transforms
and he becomes good man.
That doesn't, that's not outside the realm of... your hand looked like a shoulder steak. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
I just read a great Onion article where it was about a friend one season ahead in TV show of another friend gives him mystic wisdom about upcoming
right.
events.
And that's what, and that's, let's not lie, like, that's exactly when we talk about how 6 and 7 gets so much better and you guys, oh, you mm-hmm. gotta stick with it, it's because we're so fucking cultured and experienced and
oh,
wise.
When someone says, like, oh, have you made it to season 3 yet? Just wait for season 3. They're not doing that to help you.
They're not your friends.
Sometimes, so they're helping. Like, when they say, that, make sure you stick around for season 2.5 of Battlestar, you might not mm-hmm. know that there is a 2.5. You might skip it, go straight to 3. And then you're like, where's Starbuck?
A lot of shows are hard to watch. Battlestar Galactica is hard to, like, watch
it's hard
right.
to,
like,
yeah.
you can mess it up.
You
very
can, if
easily.
You don't, you got to go 3.2 up to 4.1, and then you got to drop back down to 3.8 for the webisodes. A lot of important canonical extensions in those webisodes, so don't miss it. You got to watch Razor, Razor 2, drop back to Caprica, hop back on for Heart of the Swarm, and then drop back down. You got to watch Razor, but backwards.
So, spoiled and saw slope. In short, you were the jerk this time. Because it was really shitty of you to tell her it gets bad. Like, what? Why would you even say that?
Unless you were warning her that it gets better, which I don't think it does. Sorry, nope. X-Files. You guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah, I do.
This Yahoo was sent in by two different people, one of whom is Jacob Locker, one of whom is Jack Howard. I don't know how it happened. It's a mystical occurrence. But
are they working together?
I think that they fucking work together, except they were sent like days apart. So they probably found it together. And then Jack was like, yeah, let's wait until Tuesday to send this in. And then he fucking got the jump on it on Saturday. Anyway, thank you both. It's by Yahoo Answers user Manuel, who asks, is it okay to eat in the bathroom at McDonald's? Hi. Hello. How are you? Whenever I go to McDonald's, I always eat in the bathroom. I've been doing this for 5 years now without a problem.
I think that saying without a problem is very generous.
It's, well, yeah, let's break that term down. Is like the fucking McDonald's bouncer is not going to kick the door in and be like, I've been following your trail for 5 years. It goes straight from the fucking cash register to the bathroom, so it was not a very difficult trail to follow. But
you gotta think, though, that if he's been going to the same McDonald's, that the cashiers are starting to talk.
Oh, I hope he's not going to... I hope nobody's going to the same McDonald's. Except hey, for that dude in Super Size Me.
Oh, new guy, don't worry. That's just Bathroom Steve.
That dude in Super Size Me who's like, I ate 5,000 Big Macs. I eat 6 a day. And it's like... That's great, but, like, can you do them at different McDonald's so they're not like, oh, here comes Big Mac Mac, because his name's Mac.
His name is also Mac.
His name is also Mac.
Can you?
And it's like, why wouldn't you just call him Big Mac if that's the case? Anyway.
Well, because he was actually very thin, if I remember correctly.
He was a thin man. He was fucking disgusting.
Can you imagine you're on a road trip, you park, you pull into a McDonald's, you run, you make a rush for the bathroom, promising yourself that you'll go back and buy a high C or something. You go to the bathroom, you open the stall door, and there's just this guy hunched over jamming chicken strips into his mouth.
Occupied. Occupied.
Occupado, my good man. But
occupied is with he, flavor.
Is he voiding, though, while he eats, is the question.
I should hope not.
Is this? Have we ever told the corncob story? I feel like we have to have told the corncob story, because it's the best thing that's ever happened.
No, to my knowledge, we have not.
The perfect diagram of efficiency that is the corn cob story.
The corn cob story is we were at a trailer park.
No,
I think it's a trailer park campground.
It was a trailer park campground, which is like, I don't care how fucking temporary your stay is. You're living in a trailer park for the period that you were there. We were staying there with our cousins or uncles, or I think it was Tim and Tom, right? And so we were staying there and we were walking the grounds, seeing the sights. Checking out, scoping some Winnies, and we went to the bathroom, and it was one of those deplorable kinds of bathrooms with no doors on the stalls. So, like, those technically
which
aren't
are not bathrooms. In they're my opinion, bathrooms. They're not bathrooms.
They're not bathrooms. They're fucking temporary concentration camps that you can walk out of.
They're risky water fountains, as far as I'm concerned.
They're little public jails, and we walked in. And I was walking, you know, just checking to see if maybe one of these fucking stalls had a door on it, because it's 1999 and we're living in a civilized goddamn world. And kind of, I mean, we were in a trailer park. And walked by one stall, and I didn't look long, because it's like, I guess a crime. But there was a little kid, I say half chubby. I mean, he was half fat. Not that either party in the scenario was half chubby.
Half fat.
He was this half fat kid. And he was sitting there taking a poop, and while he was taking a poop, he was also eating some corn on the cob. He was eating his corn on the cob while voiding. And I walked out and made a hand gesture to, I forget who was with me. I made a hand gesture like a fucking SWAT team. Like, I can't talk. I can't. I'm about to lose my fucking mind laughing. You need to go walk 8 feet in that direction and look westward. Turn your eyes westward towards
Corn Cob Boy.
Turns Corn Cob Boy. And then we will, I did a little loop with my finger to say we will do some recon later on this. We will get together and discuss it in a group.
Not now, though. For now, we're completely...
Not now. I need your total silence.
We're deep within enemy territory.
I need you to walk there. I need it to be very clear that I did not say, hey, go check out this kid with no pants on.
You have to keep it totally cash.
You got to keep totally it cash. Mash. Turn. Say, oh, excuse me. Say, like, excuse me, or how's that corn? Pretty good, I bet, since you couldn't fucking tear yourself away from it. Couldn't leave it on the picnic table. Go void. Go evacuate and then return to your biz.
There was a moment in this kid's life where he was eating corn, realized he needed to use the bathroom, and thought, well, I can't leave this here.
I get it. I mean, he buttered it. And once you butter it, it's like, that's your day.
Yeah.
That's your day until it's done. That's your day.
Have you ever thought about it from this kid's point of view? That maybe, like, Griffin's acknowledgement of him and, like, just the look on Griffin's face changed this kid's life.
Turned his life around. That kid grew up Steve Jobs. He grew up super fast.
He grew up Steve Jobs.
Anyway, maybe that's what this kid... Maybe that's who's asking this question.
It's fine, right?
It's not okay. I mean, I get it. Like, I hate. It's not just McDonald's. It's anything. Going inside of a fast food restaurant when I You know what I mean? Like, unless I am on a road trip and I'm going to use the bathroom, I'm never like, hey, you guys want to get out and eat inside? Like, the answer to that question is always no.
No.
I can't even imagine. I don't understand why most fast food restaurants have dining rooms. Like, I really.
I think it's.
It's also, I think, for kids' parties in the 90s.
I think it's one of those yes. It's one of those, like, crazy vestigial things of there was a simpler time in the 1950s mm-hmm. where you would go and Speedy would bring you out a tasty burger, bring it right out to you, and you'd sit there with your family after church, and it would smell so clean. And now, like, that's not every McDonald's that's been around for longer than 6 months is, like, caked in funk.
That's that's not fair or accurate. McDonald's are pristine. Many McDonald's are pristine. Some McDonald's are clean.
Okay.
Do you know what blows my... When was the last time you were inside a Steak and Shake?
I don't know.
They don't have those here.
Well, because it is that. Like, it's an actual, like, restaurant inside, and, like, that full-on, you walk into a time warp, and you're in the 50s.
Yeah.
And, like, there's families everywhere. It's crazy. Sorry, tangent, but it blows my mind.
So if you want to see some families, cruise on down to the Steak and Shake, and you can scope all the families... All the families.
I just go down there and family watch. You know what
I
mean?
If you want to see a half fat kid eating corn on the cob, if you want to see.
I know what you're talking about, though, because you don't see that in adults, really. But, like, you would see that in little kids a lot, mainly because I guess little kids have to have their shirts off more.
Yeah.
But, like, you would see kids who were, like, skinny to about, like, 3 inches above their belly button, and then it got around.
Yeah, it's like Bingo from this latest season of Biggest Loser, except like after no. he and like I don't want to fucking put Bingo on blast. And I don't want to salt his game or anything like that because he worked really hard. He had a broken ankle for a long time, and he still managed to drop like 70 pounds, which for a 10-year-old kid is like everything. But he was still a little.
They're mean to him on that show. Did you read about? Oh man, it's a brutal environment.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you had fucking Jillian Michaels like, if you don't eat this okra, you're going to eat my shit. And then she would shit down Bingo's throat.
Hey, speaking of eating stuff, I can't eat eggs. Not because of allergenic reasons. Ever since I was a toddler, I just couldn't bring myself to eat them. Scrambled, poached, boiled, even mixed with fried rice, you name it. Over the years, I've tried it. Can't even chew them. Really want to like them. Not only for the protein content, but my GF apparently makes devastating scrambled eggs that I would love to try. Oh, brothers, what can I do to change my senses and love eggs? That's from aggravated in Egan.
I have a hard time not picturing him putting eggs in his mouth and going, it's not working.
I can't do it. How do you move your teeth around these things?
How does anyone eat eggs?
This reminds me of Bingo from Biggest Loser trying to eat vegetables. Can't do it. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make Bingo eat vegetables. That's what Bingo's dad always says.
I don't understand the question. You don't like them, you mean? Because there's things... It's okay not to like some food.
Can I say... Listen, I get it. Because this is how I feel about mayonnaise. But I have no reason. I have no justification. There is no background to it. I just don't want to eat it.
That's crazy that you don't like mayonnaise, first of all.
I get it.
Do you know what mayonnaise is, Travis, right now? Can you tell me right now what mayonnaise is?
It's basically just like solid fat.
No.
It's oil.
No, you're wrong. It's an egg and it's oil, and that's all that it is. And I know for a fucking fact you love both of those things. You will fry an egg in oil. And you'll eat that. That's mayonnaise.
Better men than you have tried to dissect my problem with mayonnaise.
No, mayonnaise is gross.
You want to know the messed up thing?
What?
If it's like on something and I'm unaware of it, I have no problem with it.
Oh,
but
sure.
But assuming someone's like, do you want mayonnaise on it? I'm like, oh, no.
But that's mayonnaise's only job is to fucking ghost it on a sandwich to make it a little wetter.
This is my problem, though. But like, here's the thing with all condiments. And I stayed away from condiments for a good part of my life.
Because it feels better to just be natural.
Because I just want a raw dog.
Just want a raw sandwich.
No, I stayed away from them because people would restaurants especially will always over apply.
Oh, yeah, God,
like yes. A little thin layer of mayo can be appealing, but you don't ever get that anywhere. It's like that's how much mayo you get. You get
how much
of mayo?
How much mayo would you like a or would you like?
That's what you get. If I bite a sandwich and mayonnaise gushes out of it, my dining experience has come to an abrupt halt. Mm-hmm. That's the end of my dining experience.
You bite it, and then like a solid jet of it shoots out, and it gets on your grandma, and then that's Nutty Professor 3.
You're welcome.
You're clumps. Welcome, Nutty Professor 3. Still clumping. Enjoy the clumps.
So I'm betting that this guy's problem is like purely mental. That it's just like, oh, eggs? No.
Eggs is a big fucking, that's a huge.
I couldn't make it without eggs.
Couldn't make it. How do you eat breakfast tacos? I ate eggs inside my breakfast tacos yesterday. I'd say like it's a 4 times a week thing for me.
You can't see the thing though where it's like, oh, that's like a chicken baby.
Oh, it's not that. I don't think it's that. Seem to be conceptually bothering this person. Mm. I think maybe you should just start trying different styles. Like, you need to find a handhold in the world of eggs and then, like, build from there.
Eggs are a protein, and they are a vehicle for other flavors, and that vehicle can be delivered in so many different ways. That's what's craziest to me, is you can fucking disguise it in so many. I put a little Fox Point seasoning in it and a little salt and a little pepper, and that's it. And it doesn't taste anything like eggs. It tastes like fucking Fox Point seasoning.
What's Fox Point seasoning?
It's it's a special. I don't know. It came with the seasoning set that Rachel got me for my birthday a couple years ago, and it's fucking delicious.
Hey, speaking of spices, here's some free advice to everybody.
Yeah,
if it's been a few years since you've used a spice, check the expiration date on it.
Oh, Fox Point doesn't go bad.
It won't ever hurt you, but you will really lose a lot of potency. I bought some new Crusher pepper flakes, and I stopped using the jar I've been using for 5 years. I bought some new Crusher pepper flakes, and it was like being able to taste again after being in some sort of
igloo. I just go to Pizza Hut when they have their lunch buffet, and I just scoop up the red pepper flakes, just throw them in my pocket.
Fill my pockets full.
Put pepper flakes and Parmesan, and
I do the same thing with the carrot shreddings.
Mm-hmm.
Those are delicious. My jam with eggs right now, and this is really delicious, is I make an omelet. Mm-hmm. And I cook some apple slices in brandy and cinnamon.
Fuck.
And then put the apple slices into the omelet. Mm. I learned that from the Frugal Gourmet, who it turns out is a child molester guy, sort of.
Oh, no.
I know, right? I was so bummed.
That story just went from my extreme fascination of cinnamon apples and eggs. Why haven't... Aw, oh, man.
But no, guys, seriously. He taught me how to make the best omelets, and... I don't care. You know, he can have a kid or two as far as I'm
That's
concerned.
Not-
oh,
I don't
no, Justin,
like
no.
I don't mean it like
we,
that.
We don't need to lay a sacrifice at the feet of the Frugal
I'm
Gourmet.
I'm not going to sit here and pass judgment on Frugal Gourmet. Who's
what if that? Okay, Justin, gourmet? what if that kid was Corn Cob Boy? Now don't you feel bad? Isn't there egg on your face? Just eat these fucking eggs. You can. Oh, my God. There's eggs in everything you eat.
I have a second suggestion that might help.
What's that?
It's how you train dogs, but have a little bit of egg along with your favorite kind of food and just like pair them together until eventually you're going to create a new connection that eggs are good and they remind you of your favorite food.
Put a little bit of egg on the tip of your nose, and then when I ring this bell, I want you to jump up and grab it.
And you laugh, but that'd be a really impressive trick.
That would be, because eggs are super floppy.
I made the mistake this week of, I thought the Onion AV Club, when they did podcast reviews, they only did them about episodes that were good, and a few weeks ago we put up a rock, as they say in the ball world, and they said they called us on it. They said, wow, they really threw an air ball this time, a real clunker. And now anytime we're recording, the only voice I could hear is the voice of the AV Club saying there is a prolonged 20-minute discussion of egg preparation. Do not recommend to anyone.
Right, but then you go fucking switch over to egg blog podcast reviews, and they're like, A+, best ep ever. Go see it. Five stars. Drop some money on them.
Finally, the McElroys break their 3-year-long egg silence. And fucking get on it. Actually, it is 3 years on...
The 30th, right?
Wednesday, the 10th. April 10th was our first episode.
Jesus Christ, memory serves. I can't fucking believe how long we've been doing this stupid goddamn show.
Hey, if you want us to keep doing this goddamn show, you're going to have to get up in the Max Fun Drive. It is our annual fundraiser to help collect money for the Maximum Fun podcast network of which we are a proud member.
This is our third Max Fun Drive. I'm sure that most of you know the score, especially if you listened last week. If you don't, we are raising money for Max Fun Drive, for the Maximum Fun Network. We get paid. I think it's safe to say. Are we allowed to? I mean, I know you guys are uncomfortable talking about finances.
We make bank.
We make bank. We get that sticky green. Is that weed or money? We get the money and we spend it on weed. And that money comes from you. We're a donor supported network, which is amazing. Jesse Thorne wrote up a big essay about why we why it is a donor supported network, and it's moving. So go look that up and find it. But yeah, we have we collect monthly donations at a number of different levels. There's something for, you know, whatever price point you can work with. We have a $10 donation level, $20, $35, all the way up to $200. And for doing that, you not only, you know, support us and help grow the show, and help bring new shows to the Max Fun Network, which this past year we've seen like crazy expansion with Risk and the Memory Palace and Wham Bam Pow and One Bad Mother just opened up. Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident. Like, it's like we've doubled the network this year.
Massive.
And every show is it just delightful. Like, there's really no collection of like media anywhere else on internet or otherwise. But anyway, you help support us. You also get some pretty dope gifts. Justin, you want to break some of those down for us?
So if you give us $10 a month, that is so super generous of you. And to say thank you, we are going to send you some very cool Maximum Fun earbuds. They are branded with our distinctive rocket ship logo, and they are fresh to death. You're also going to get a ton of... How many hours? We figured it up like...
It was like 30-something.
Like 30-some hours of donor-exclusive material.
Yeah, every year we do a bonus episode, so does every other podcast. So based on how many years they've been, like this is our third year, we have three bonus episodes. And
plus the episode that we did for Max Fun Day in October.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so shit, that's right.
Yeah, so and one of those episodes contains Papa McElroy.
Our daddy.
It's hilarious. So if you have been wanting to hear from whence we came, that is where.
And if you're a previous donor, like the physical gifts are for people who are new donors or people who upgrade. You can find all this information on MaximumFun.org/donate, by the way. But if you're a previous donor, you get all that bonus shit, like, regardless.
For $20 a month, we're going to give you the Intimate Sensations Pack. That is definitely a box of sex stuff. There's a black sexy mask.
For our freaky listeners, you know you love it.
The Velvafeel Massager. Rocket Lube, which is Maximum Fun Sex Lube. Which I would not recommend opening for collector's value. You're going to want to sell that.
Well, so, but good luck resisting it when you're trying to fuck a dry butt. And then you look over and you're like, I got the solution right here. I have the unguent that I need to perform this.
Or a dry vagina.
Sorry, go ahead, Travis.
Just to make it clear, that's from our friends at Extreme Restraints. Like, not only our biggest supporters.
But we didn't just take really a cool Gatorade bottle and just... put like a mixture of olive oil and bath water into it. Like, it's legit. It's legit lube. It's going to help you fuck a butt. Or a vagina.
At $35, you're going to get all that stuff plus a pair of rocket-engraved rocks glasses, which
are these are some sharp glasses. Well, they're not sharp. I mean, you're not going to, like, cut your mouth.
To the touch.
They're smooth. They've got a thick, heavy bottom. You can pour, spirits in it, just like Travis. You got a thick ass. You pour your spirits in this and you have a good time with friends. There's two of them, so you can have maybe an intimate date. Maybe you fill it with rocket lube, and then you pour the rocket lube from the glass into a dry butt. Maybe you pour it into your own butt, because like maybe you're at like a festival, and it's like gets really dry down there, or it gets really swampy. We'll pour a little lube in there; it'll fix you right up. Maybe your windows.
Also, if you massage the lube into a bald man's head, his hair will grow back.
His hair will grow back. If you got streaks on your windows, just throw some lube on it and then wipe it down and then shove it in your ass.
The window?
The whole window. The whole fixture right in there. You know what they say? A man's way to his heart is the window to his soul, which is his asshole with an actual window in it.
So I guess... So do that... It's Maximum Fun patreon.com/donate. Please do this right now while you're thinking about it. You'll forget later. Go do it right this second. We will be here waiting for you when you get back. Or if you have a computer handy, just go ahead and do it.
We are almost halfway. We have a goal of 1,000 new donors, which is the goal we have every year. We don't have a thermoboner this year to track it, which is horse shit. Typically, Jesse Thorne draws up a thermometer to keep track of it, but because he's got a boner-addled mind, it always ends up looking like a boner. Not this year. Not this year. No. We got some sort of HTML5 thing, which is...
It's horseshit.
It's horseshit. But we're on track. We still need everybody's help to get there. And we also have challenge donors who, every time we get a new donor, they donate a certain amount of money, which is... Does anybody know where it's at? It was over $6 last time, which is... If we hit the goal of 1,000 donors, it's like a lot of money.
Oh, God. So please give me.
And I also want to say, lest we forget, if you are a Max Fund donor from the past, we are so grateful for you. I know that sometimes we hit the new Max Fund drive, and it seems like, you know, we're so excited about new donors and we're trying to get new people. But if you've been a donor with us for a while, like...
And you've been like...
You,
it's crazy.
You are what makes this station happen.
Somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, they were like, you know, I'm uncomfortable with doing a monthly donation because it's like, it's the same amount of like Netflix or other services like that. And like the fact that there are people out there that feel like they get the same amount of entertainment from us and the other shows in the Max Fund Network that they do from quote unquote professional services like that. And are like willing to support us with the same amount of money. Like that's fucking amazing to me. And like, I'm not saying that they are mistaken in saying that because I get literally a dozen hours of entertainment for the Max Fun Network every week. But like, I don't know, it's incredibly, incredibly flattering. Like I never thought
that. I also guarantee that Netflix does not love you as much as we love you.
No, Netflix is fucking shitty. They send you broken discs and you don't realize it until you put it in your Xbox and it's just shrapnel in there.
I also hear they fart in every
They fart on every here's the thing though. It's only certain movies. So like if you get Hope Floats, that's a farter. If you get Serendipity, that's a farter. If you get The Lake House, that's a farter.
Why is it all like romantic comedies?
It's all romantic comedies. If it has John Cusack in it and he kisses a woman at the end, that don't touch the disc with your bare hands. That's all I'm saying.
Except for Must Love Dogs. Must Love Dogs.
That's the only fart-free one.
Because it is made of farts.
Because it is a literal. Oh man. MaximumFun.org/donate is the link. Click it and just think about it. Think about your options.
I'm in a rock band and may or may not be attempting to climb to stardom. We've written a handful of songs and started playing them at a local karaoke. Sorry, that word is not in this question. I'm playing out at local venues and said horse shows. No, house shows, not horse shows. My problem is that after every set, whenever someone attempts to compliment me on our music, I have an overwhelming urge to ask them questions about the songs, about my playing, about literally anything I can think of. So my question is this, how far can I go with this? Should I ask a question at all or just nod and thank them? And that's from Noteless in New Jersey.
Guys, this question is, this is not a joke, literally the reason I had to stop doing community theater. Because whether you're in the audience or coming off the stage, that 15-minute period afterwards where people have to come up to you and tell you how sweet your voice is, or you have to tell them how you were moved and touched by this particular performance of Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, is like the worst human interaction I think that you can be party to.
Yeah. And if I may, Noteless, here's the problem. No matter what you ask them, you're not going to believe their response.
No.
Yeah, everyone's trust lying.
Me. Yeah, and if you say like, hey, so what'd you think? And they're like, man, it was so good. And you're like, no, really, honestly, what did you think? No, really, it was so good. I mean, okay, you can tell me, like, because we're trying to get better. No, it was so good.
So good. Like, you're like the early Shins. I like it so much.
You are
there
never going to
no
get...
There is no affirmation they can give you that you're going to go, oh, okay.
Do you know what's going to be affirmation? When you get wet panties flung on stage at you, that's how you're going to know. And they have to be wet? Why do they have to be wet?
don't know.
Why are these wet? Hey, who threw these wet panties up on the stage? That's gross.
I think they have to be wet for aerodynamic purposes. I don't think you're going to cut wet.
That's true. Yeah, it's like,
oh, no, if they're dry, there's not enough mass to them.
Yeah,
they won't fall. Inertia, you know, you need the mass.
Yeah, you need inertia.
That's like the Foo Fighters had to ask people to stop throwing Mentos at them when they played Big Me, because that they are hard.
Yeah, they're like little bullets, like little minty sucks. Bullets.
Please don't do that. You're never going to get an honesty from people who are there, presumably your friends, or even if they're not, like, they're there, they're looking you dead in the eye. If you want honesty, get on the internet. Everyone will fucking hate you.
The only reason that we're saying this, yes, thank you, Justin, the only reason that we're saying this is because I have never said anything bad about any art anyone's ever done to their face. And I try not to say it on internet, even, because I know how nasty the internet gets.
Oh, boy, howdy, does it ever.
Sheeminy creaminy.
Well, and you know, the double-edged sword is, like, maybe... See, everybody also has that, like, one friend that's, like, their straight shooter friend. That would be like, I'm giving you my honest opinion. And you would think that, like, in your mind, you're like, that's exactly what I want. I want an honest opinion so I can grow and improve. But you don't.
You don't, because then Jerry's like, I don't know, man, it just sounded a little derivative of New Fugazi. Do they have new stuff? It sounds like New Fugazi to me. So
if Fugazi had continued to operate as a band in an alternate dimension, this sounds very derivative.
This sounds derivative of that. Then you would say, well, Jerry, thank you for your honest opinion. And then in your bed at night at 4 a.m. because you can't fucking sleep, you're like, God damn it, Jerry. My whole life is in
Why didn't you just fucking say it was good and walk away?
Why'd you straight shoot me?
Why'd you straight shoot me in the heart?
That's actually why people started bringing flowers to things. Because you could give someone flowers and then walk away, and you don't have to say anything. And later they'll think, I must have talked to them.
Yeah.
Because I have flowers here.
Take these. Oh, thank you. What'd you think? I just fucking gave you flowers. Like, I shouldn't have to tell you that.
The interaction's over. I went to Kroger.
We're done. I went to Kroger.
To be fair, you guys, I think you're letting your theater show, because I don't think a lot of people roll up to rock shows with flowers.
Oh, God.
Maestro, Maestro, one more.
I say play on.
Bravissimo. Bravissimo.
You don't.
The flowers have to be wet, though, or else they won't travel.
Don't do this. Just say thank you so much. And we really appreciate you coming. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Did we?
Because, I mean,
after our live
imagine
shows.
Imagine if we did a My Brother Me live show. And someone came up afterwards, and they were like, hey, that was funny. And I was like, go on.
Well, it's down.
Tell me.
Goofs?
Are you physically exhausted from laughing? Yeah. I mean, we don't, like, after our live shows, we usually just, like, fucking, just, like, hang, right? Like, we're almost ashamed of the shit that we just did, and we don't want to talk about it. Let's move on. No, I'm not joking. That's typically, like, at the Chicago, after our first live show at Second City, we went out to that bar. It was my birthday, and I don't remember a lot of it because fucking Rocky Horror got me blackout. But, like, we all just drank and didn't talk about it, I feel like. Am I misremembering?
No, you're right.
No, I didn't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
That's the thing.
I don't want to talk about it now.
We're talking a big game, but, like...
That's actually the worst part about... This is going to sound so stupid, but, like, when we do a live show... And then we talk to people afterwards. I really, like, being in any way, like, entertaining or worth listening to, I don't know if this is this way for genuinely talented people, but for me, it is a finite resource.
Yeah.
And if I put it all into, like, an hour of doing a live show afterwards, like, I know I suck. Like, I am not funny. I do not have any, whatever neurons those are that connect me to saying, like, not even funny, like, applicable.
Yeah.
Like, even relevant.
Oh, you fried all of those connections.
You can chart that between, so our Chicago live show where we did, like, 20 minutes, and then we're like, what's up? Oh, this guy. And then our Austin live show when we did two back-to-back hour-long episodes and went out for like 5.5 minutes and we're like,
And fell asleep on the tables in the back of that monk's place.
Mm-hmm.
Griffin, do you have a Yahoo?
I have a few. This Yahoo answer was sent in by Reed. Thank you, Reed. It's by Yahoo Answers user Miomi, who asks, well, I quitted karate. Is that a good decision? Trainings are hard, my bro told me to quit. Oh, Jesus. Trainings are hard. My bro told me to quit because I didn't want to attend karate, so I quitted. My parents Don't. Hey, did you? Were you found guilty for karate? No, I was acquitted. My parents don't want me to quit because they wanted me to protect myself when I grow older. So, is it a good or bad decision to quit?
There's so many factors here.
Do you guys know anybody who did karate coming up?
Yes, I do.
I knew one.
Chris Sizemore?
Derek Moore. But, like, here's the thing. I feel like there was a mythos around karate or all forms of kung fu, and there still is, which is I'm learning it for self-defense. I don't think that situation has ever unfolded organically in the history of pugilism. I think that if somebody who has dedicated 20 years of their life to mastering kung fu, and then they get in one bar fight, that primal moment of punch, they do not go, "What did my sensei teach me?"
See, I disagree, because I think in the moment of punch, it probably comes up, but like in the dark alley where a dude like pulls a gun, you're probably not thinking like, "I'm gonna karate."
Well, no, because you're not gonna fucking like throw a ball of chi at him. Like, that's obviously not.
Oh, have you guys seen that thing though?
When you're fucking
totally do that.
When you're careening towards that drunk truck driver, you're not gonna kung fu his car out of the way, Travis. When the fucking sun explodes and we experience the heat death of the universe, you're not going to fucking kick your way out
of
that one.
Can I tell you the funny thing is, though, as soon as someone says, like, self-defense, I'm taking it for self-defense, that is what I picture, like, fighting
I'm 95 years old and this coronary is about to get me, but let me just chop it! Done. Fixed it. Fixed it with
my heart. It's cool now.
Got it with a chop. 90 years of kung fu paid off.
People say they do it to defend themselves. And if you really pound that math out, it is it's bad investment no matter which way it breaks.
In this situation
that you are envisioning, you're in mano a mano combat, hand to hand, no weapons allowed. Because make no mistake, my friend, if you have karate and he has insert sharp thing here, lose.
You lose.
It's over. You get stabbed.
That's why fucking knives and swords and guns were invented, is because people like this fuckhole on Yahoo was like, karate's too hard. I wish there was a substitute. Oh, you're telling me this knife is worth a hundred billion years of karate. Okay, I'll just take that then. It's way easier.
Yeah, how about just bring some mace with you? Because what you're talking about is 4 hours a week, right? Like an hour a week for a month, something like 50 hours a year. Of karate.
You just pulled all that out of your butt.
Why? Yep. That's nothing wrong.
Based on the latest statistics.
Hours a year of karate training versus, like, the one opportunity you may ever have to just not get your ass beat as bad as your ass would have gotten.
Right.
Also, in those karate classes, from what I know from watching movies and TV shows, you get your ass beat a lot.
Yeah.
You get thrown around people
maybe that's
beat the shit out of you.
Like, right now, I've never been in a fight in my life. I feel like I've talked about this on the podcast before, and I'm afraid that first punch I'd be done. So maybe, like, being in kung fu classes gets the shit beaten out of you, so you're a little bit more used to getting the shit beaten out of you. But at the same time, it seems so... You know, I say this, but I watch that Tony Jaa, and, like, he's on some next-level shit. I think that if he got embroiled, he would come out the victor. But, like, I don't know.
But I guarantee he's not going to Master Tony's, you know, Taekwondo class behind the YMCA.
Because that shit, you're, like, outside a bar, and a dude is drunk and coming after you. You're not going to be like, so are you doing crane style or Taekwondo? Oh, fuck!
Ow!
And right now, I know there are dozens of people that are shouting at their iPods, saying, I don't do martial arts for self-defense. I do it for mental clarity and physical exercise. And newsflash.
I can kick all your asses.
If you are in a bar
blanket statement. If you see me, fucking bring it. I will take you to Clown Town. Go ahead, Justin.
Oh, thanks. If there's a fight, they are looking to you. You are the guy. You cannot use the excuse of, no, I just do martial... No. They're going to look to you, Kung Fu Kim, or whatever your name is, to fight this fight for them. You're setting up unrealistic expectations, is what I'm saying.
I will say this, too. I mean, counterpoint. If I were about to fight a dude in a bar, and somebody else in the bar is like, you know he's a black belt, right? I would run away.
Good for that. It is good for intimidation.
It's intimidation. But
I would totes leave the situation.
Is there such a thing as a dojo run by like a drunk dock worker?
And like I have a dojo you could try. It's called All of Them.
If there was an illegal boxing gambling ring run by a drunk dock worker, that is the kind of shit that I would be on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, where's the dojo that, like, teaches you to, like, punch sides of beef?
I'm a Miller's High Life belt at my dojo. And it's just a belt, just like a regular belt with a Miller's High Life label stuck on it. But it's the next to highest one you can get. It's the champagne.
Do you know, I would go to a dojo run by, like, Norman Reedus.
Yeah. I would
want
be
that kind of fighting.
He kind of is like a drunk, the drunk dock worker of actors, though.
Right?
I think that the big problem with karate is I don't have an end of the sentence.
It keeps taking our jobs. Is the issue?
Sure. Something comes down here. Whatever. Obama.
Let's answer a real question. Nobody does kung fu anymore.
Nobody's ever done kung fu again. I'm sorry if we hurt your feelings and you do kung fu.
Krav Maga. Now that's some shit. That's some shit. I can Krav Maga or Tim McGraw.
If you earn Tim McGraw.
Welcome to Tim McGraw's Krav Maga. I'm gonna teach you how to tumble, how to throw somebody, use their weight against them, and not get your head knocked off.
Welcome to Tom McGraw's Tim McGraw Krav Maga.
Hi, I'm Tom McGraw. People tell me I look like Tim McGraw, but that's just because my name sounds the same. Who wants to learn how to tussle?
My brother Tim McGraw taught me his fighting style, Krav Maga, that he invented. It was not.
I miss him every day.
I miss him so much.
I miss him.
He died in a Krav Maga accident.
I've been pretending to be him for the last 20 years.
Have you had sex with Faith Hill? No? Well, come on. Let's Krav Maga.
Everybody do in the Krav Maga crawl.
I don't think that was Tim McGraw.
I don't think that was Tim McGraw.
Everybody Krav Maga like you were dying. Let's go.
That one works.
Thank you.
Don't take the Krav Maga lessons from my brother Tom.
Don't take his shit. Don't take his shit. Krav Maga him. I mean, oh my God. I'm an Indian Krav Maga. Have Cherokee and Choctaw. I'll flip you over my shoulder arm. Krav Maga.
Oh, God.
Oh, Krav Maga.
Can anyone give me an I like it, I love it?
I like it. I love it. I chop that guy's arm off.
All right. Let's answer a question.
I love my boyfriend of a year. Oh, man, guys. I got to start reading these before I start reading them.
Got to do a little prep.
A little pre-pro. I love my boyfriend of over a year very much. However, something's been bothering me lately. Whenever I need to vent to him about a hard day or someone I don't like, he always feels the need to play devil's advocate, telling me they have a point or that I shouldn't have done something, when all I really wanted was to get it off my chest. I know not everything that bothers me is entirely reasonable, but sometimes I just need to hear what I want to hear. What should I tell him? Thanks. That's from Camp Vent in Kentucky.
Sounds like this is this dude's first time being a boyfriend.
It sounds like his significant other of any gender.
It might also be his first time trying to be like a good boyfriend.
What do you mean?
It might be possible that he's been an SO before.
And he was just a shithead?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm bad at this, too. Like, I completely relate to this dude. Oh, this is so awful to tell you how horrible I am at reading human emotions. I actually have taken to shorthand, and, like, when Teresa will start to vent about something, I will literally say, do you want me to be supportive boyfriend or devil's advocate boyfriend?
I do the exact same thing, and maybe that's cheating. I don't know, but it seems to work better than guessing.
Yeah.
It is cheating, because, like, I don't do that. I have to just read, you know, read the room, read the variables. Is she perioding, right, fellas?
High five. Skype.
Oh, God.
Skype five.
Shit.
Why five?
I like that.
That's a good one. No, I mean,
I don't know what to say.
Sometimes you just want to say something out loud, and you don't necessarily want an argument about it. You just want to be angry for a while.
There was a moment last night where Teresa was telling me a story about something, and I was just staring at her, waiting for her to, like, ask for my opinion or ask for me, like, what to do. And she finished the sentence and didn't have anything else to say, and I was just staring at her. And she was like... She's like, and I'm really upset about that. And I was like, oh yeah, I know that's shitty. That's awful. Oh, yeah, I
blew
it.
Were you, honesty time? Were you listening to the completeness of the thought?
It was one of two things. I was either so deep in it that I couldn't see the light to get out, or I was thinking about like pizza.
You were pondering an earlier phrase that she said. You were so busy processing that you didn't hear. You didn't hear the punchline.
That might be true.
You didn't. You were so stuck on the descending action.
It is really hard to shake the impulse to fix, and yeah. I think that's something that I've always struggled with in my relationships. That I never have and I think Sydney is the first relationship I've been in where like I've finally. Because of just her telling me what I'm doing wrong and me sort of realizing it on my own and growing up, like it seems like a very healthy impulse to like want to fix everything. But Man, you can get into a bad situation very fast.
The issue is like I'm always that guy. I am always like, well, let me find a way to help you. And so the way that it breaks down for me, again, a preface, I'm awful at this, is I have a 2-step process, and the first step is there anything I can do directly to fix this, to which the answer is almost always no.
Right.
And then step 2 is, can you find a teacher or an adult? Can you find a teacher or an adult that can help you out with this problem? Because there's an adult out there somewhere that will help you, a parent or a teacher or a trusted close friend.
Sydney has had problems, was having problems sleeping recently, and I tried to advise her with my vast amount of sleep knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that didn't work. So I found out who the sleep doctor was at the hospital where she works and started insisting that she talk to him because he's an adult.
Is what I'm saying. It's a foolproof method.
I've gone through my entire checklist. I'm going to bump you up to an adult.
Listen, I got to escalate this. I really have nothing for you.
I don't know any teachers anymore. They all fucking died.
It's really unfortunate because you can't, I mean, it's frustrating. I get it from the guy's perspective. I mean, the devil's advocate thing, that's easy. Here's when people want you to be devil's advocate. A never. Like, they don't ever want that. Trust me, they know what the flip side is. They don't need you to illuminate that for them. You can put your boyfriend on the line if you want. We can tell him that.
It might not hurt to say, like, I'm just going to vent for a second, but...
But what if they need that truth? What if they're saying some bullshit, and they need you to fucking grab them, pull them back down.
You want to know the answer, Griffin? You don't do it.
But what if they need it, Travis? This is what I'm saying. What if they need it, and that's secretly what they want? Is somebody to tell them?
They don't want that.
No, stop.
They don't. Wait, well, want someone to disagree with them?
Yeah.
Never.
But what if they do, is what I'm saying. Like, what if
they don't.
But they don't.
What if they don't want it, but they need it?
Griffin, we're older than you. They don't. They never do.
I mean they as in all people.
When
not
I hear
like women
Sydney,
or men,
when
all
I hear,
people.
When I hear Sydney is wrong about something or she's angry at someone else, here is the extent to which that is not the J-man's department.
Do you
that
call an adult? Do you problem. Call a teacher or an adult to come in and be like, hey, nope. Wrong.
Nope.
Wrong.
I'm not getting into a fight with you because this does not have an effect.
Justin called me in, and to tell you this, nope.
Here's another piece of advice to the question asker. The time to discuss this with your boyfriend is not in the middle of this situation.
Wait a minute.
No.
Who is going to start a conversation? No one does that.
Hey, by the way, if I'm talking some bullshit anytime in the discernible future.
No. What I'm saying is so she's upset enough to feel the need to vent, and then her boyfriend does something wrong. I guarantee she ain't going into it with a cool level head to be like, hey, honey, side note, let me explain to you what's going on right now and why I'm upset.
Well, that's fine, but the better thing is don't talk to him and just let him listen to this part, and we'll tell him for you to not, Because that way it won't seem aggressive. It's just like, hey, these zany brothers who sometimes talk about eggs for 20 minutes have a special message just
for you.
It was
like 10. But also...
To be fair, Justin was adding in the 10 minutes that we'll talk about eggs later.
It's just not worth... Like, it's not a fight. It's not... You get no prize for being writer than the other person, or...
Because it very easily turns into you shouldering the burden of the person they're mad at.
And right. that's what love is. That's what you do. How do you guys not get this?
Whoever you're defending will never, ever, 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 ever make you some coffee or give you a foot rub or drive you to the airport. It does not matter. They lost the chance for you to be on their side when they were not at the altar or at the boyfriend vault
then
with
you.
At the
boyfriend store.
At the boyfriend store. They missed their chance to have you on their
right.
team.
But what I'm saying is they're not going to do those things unless you go to them and tell them what you did for them. I acted as your surrogate. I was your second. I stood up for you. Rub my tootsies.
Hey, you don't know me, Trish's boss, but I defended
you. Can you put Trish's boss on the phone? He needs to appreciate something.
Listen, you're a grade A bitch, and my wife hates your guts, but I took that hate from you, put it on myself, and now I would love a foot rub. Hey, I'm going to Tucson next week. Can I get a ride to the airport? That's all I'm asking.
It's not asking a lot.
Wow, she wasn't lying. You are a bitch.
Not can I have $7 then?
I just want
please?
$7.
I'm also gonna need to move in with you because she kicked me out.
My relationship is permanently negatively impacted. All I need is one to the airport.
I need $10 a month. Just that's it. That's not asking so much. And in exchange, I'll give you some earbuds that I have. They have a rocket ship on them. You know, that's not asking a lot. Listen, I need $20 a month. If you give me $20 a month, and this is probably overstepping our bounds, but I'll give you some sex lube in a box.
To be fair, if you're not cool with sex lube in a box, I can also give you a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yes, there's a substitute program. Do you think people understand what we're doing?
No. It's covert. It's subliminal. It's super liminal. Maximum Fun Drive is here, of course, friends. We so appreciate your support. It was appreciate extremerestraints.com for their generous gift to help us make this drive the weirdest.
Let's talk about
any drive going on right now.
Let's talk about the upper echelons. Let's talk about the premium rush.
Uh-huh.
I saw that movie. Such great bike stunts, such great acting from Mr. Gordon-Levitt.
Now, you do remember that we set that up as a euphemism for being a douche, right?
Yep, I do remember that. So there are tears, premium tears, which is what I cried after I watched Maximum Rush. Justin, tell us what
people
are going
to get. So we talked about 10, 20, 35. If you give us $100 a month, you're going to be one of Jesse's Golden Eagles. You're going to join the Inner Circle, which is a monthly club celebrating the best in comedy, music, and culture. Hosts of the Max Fun programs will pick a favorite book, movie, album, something else cool, and you're just going to get it with a note about why you'll like it. You're also going to get the Rocks glasses, the Intimate Sensations Pack, Max Fun earbuds, and you're going to be invited to the Max Fun dinner in L.A., which is before Max Fun Con. And we'll be there.
Have a very
special
night.
I went last year and hung out with Chuck Bryant and John Hodgman and the guys from Riff Tracks. But I also got to hang out with Dmitry Pertnoy, who is an awesome listener and a really cool guy. Really looking forward to hanging out with him in Max FunCon again.
See, you could be that guy.
Really awesome guy. Yes.
A year before that, Justin and I went and got Justin embarrassed me in front of John Hodgman. In the worst way possible.
I still have a picture of it if you ever want to see it.
If you ever want to see, maybe we can put that picture up. It's like a special thing in the forums of when Justin made me the angriest I've ever been at Justin.
It was a special moment.
It was not a special moment. It was the angriest I've ever, ever been. At anyone, probably.
Well, we're past it now.
Are we? For $200 a month, you can join Jordan's Platinum Angels. You get all the shit that we've talked about so far, right? You also get free registration for the Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival for boatparty.biz. What is that, you ask? You stupid idiot. How do you not know about this already? It's a cruise. It's a comedy cruise. You get on a ship from September 13th to 16th. You get on a ship and you get to do and experience comedy with people like Maria Bamford and Chuck Bryant and Dan Deacon and John Hodgman and Josie Long and Al Madrigal and Eugene Merman and Mark Maron or Mark Maron. John Roderick's
Mariner.
In the mix.
I think it's Mark Mariner.
Mark Mariner is in the there. Sea. Yeah, sure. It's maritime law that Mark Maron.
His son, Submariner.
Kristen Schaal is going to be there. Fuck. Fuck, why aren't we going to this?
It's so dope.
It's so good and we can't go because we're not allowed. We're not allowed on the ocean.
Let's go to anything, ever.
Justin and Travis and I, before we were podcasters, we were whale molesters. You let us anywhere within
I'm only 10, laughing because I feel so guilty.
We would get 10,000 leagues under the sea, and then we would get one league inside a whale, and it would... it, guys, no shit. It's the best feeling in the world. But we're not allowed to do it anymore.
And the shame you feel afterwards.
The shame you feel afterwards is the most pungent shame you'll ever experience. But when you're... Oh, my God. Ooh. Sometimes I read the parable of Jonah and the whale, and it's like, I just can't control myself. I watch Pinocchio, and I'm like, ow. Uh-huh. Pieschio is more like it. Hey, fuck. Guys. I think I get on the forums, and I read my Monstro slash fic. Monstro is the whale from Pinocchio. And I just can't help it. I get my rocket lube, and I spend 2.5 hours right there on the web.
Just reading podcast. It and keeping my hands moisturized with the lube so that my knuckles don't get all cracky.
It's very dry in my office. Also, I masturbate.
MaximumFun.org/donate, and you can just donate.
If you donate, if you donate, I will never talk about that shit I just talked about ever again.
That's a guarantee.
It's not.
And it is also important that when you donate, that you post on Twitter or Facebook or something and say, hey, friends that haven't donated to the Max Fun Drive, you freeloaders, get in gear. There's only like 4 or 5 or 6 days left. I can't count, but it's time to get out there and support Max Fun Drive. I know you listen. I know you do.
I know you do. You joke thieves. Seriously, thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for your support. It really does mean so much to me. I don't have the words to express my gratitude, my love, my affection, but it's there. You gotta trust it. I love you guys as much as I love getting bones deep in a whale. Do you guys want a Yahoo? This Yahoo answer was sent in by Jacob Locker. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Magic Missile One, who asks, what if Sonic the Hedgehog was real?
Whoa.
If he was real and alive in our world.
Well,
the end.
That's it. That's all it is.
Okay, are we talking about Sonic, video game Sonic, or Sonic Jaleel white-voiced Sonic from the Sonic cartoon?
Good question.
If you fucking are capable of playing a Sonic game now and not hearing Jaleel White's voice, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, because I feel like that Sonic could be reasoned with. I feel like if Sonic the Hedgehog was real, but it was one from the video game, it's basically you just have like a blue rat looking for shiny
things.
That's my
important question here is he real in the real world looking like Sonic from the video game, or is he real in the real world and he's just a really fast hedgehog?
Can you reason? Does he have the faculties for reason?
My guess would be dissection.
Right.
Why? Because everybody wants to know why he's so fast.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you capture Bigfoot, they wouldn't just be like, go on about your business.
Nobody's seen Jaleel White in 15 years. And maybe he's inside Sonic the Hedgehog.
Mm-hmm. We all talk about capturing Bigfoot, but wouldn't we know what to do with him when we got him?
No. You think so much about the chase. You never think about the end game.
You'd try to recreate Harry and the Hendersons, and he would not be down with that, I feel like. He would probably just want to maul you. How big is Sonic the Hedgehog? Is he the size of a regular hedgehog? Because that's like, that would be kind of, what's worse? Sonic the Hedgehog's real, and he's small like a regular hedgehog, and so you never find him, or he's the size of a human, which is the scariest.
Oh my God, you open your door and he's like, I was hoping you could give me some milk. Like, Sonic, you get out of here, you weird 2.5 foot tall hedgehog. I hate your guts.
But what if he's eye level and he's like...
Does he not sound like Jaleel White?
That was Justin's Jaleel White impression.
That's my Julia White.
Julia White is a matchstick girl.
Did I do that? I would like some plates. Could you put and have a cheese? Please, a cheese for me. You got any chili dogs?
It's like a tiny ghostly Peebo Bryson.
And Stefan comes out and he's like, "Hello, I'm Stefan. My voice is a little deeper. Come on, fuck.
I'm still very upsetting. Do you love me?" If he was real, I think he would find a very hollow. He comes from a reality where his entire world is built around not just his height but his abilities. Like,
sure,
there was an architect at some point in Green Hill Zone who's like, "I don't know, a loop here," and no one questioned the practicality of that.
Maybe one day someone will be able to use this fucking thing.
Because we just, that's our only method of egress from our home, is that we have to run really fast at a loop and get out that way.
And I also think I'm going to follow that up with a pit with some spikes in it. Whoa, why would you do that? So if people fall down, they die. Yeah, we're just building like a hillside here. Why are you? I want them to die.
Why would you put spikes anywhere?
Sure.
Right?
Unless you're defending a castle. Like, I see no use for spikes.
I think Sonic the Hedgehog would find this to be a miserable existence because there would be a cabal of, I'll say, a certain kind of internet user, a certain kind of author of a certain type of fiction that would hunt him down and fuck him to death. And now I'm imagining Julia White's screams of protest.
Not again!
Chili dogs. That one
wasn't very good. Are we just now discovering that Justin does horrible, horrible impressions of Julia White?
Replace Julia White with everybody, and I think that you are... pretty much got my whole thing. That's my whole situation. What if one of the scientists that captured him were the same people writing the
we will continue
to study him throughout the night. You all can leave and I will keep an eye on him.
Hey, Dave, can you keep an eye on Sonic? We're all gonna leave and shut off the security cameras to save electricity, so just don't do anything.
Happy birthday, buddy. Happy birthday. If you look in the closet, we've switched out one of the hazmat suits for a Tails suit. Go wild.
We know you've been lonely since the divorce.
Just really go wild. Hey, guys. What's going on?
Do I smell chili sauce?
You do.
It's not. I want you people listening at home to know who might be worried about it.
It's consensual.
It is consensual. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not, we're not joking
about it. I think it would take some negotiation, though.
Yeah.
I think
show that fucker one gold ring, like every woman, and he's down to fuck. What?
Jesus.
Griffin, are you going to take out that joke I said? Because I feel like I could do that joke better.
Yeah, okay.
Let me try it again.
I think it would be consensual.
Yeah, it would be. Come on, consensual. You show that guy one gold ring, and he's ready to marry you, like every woman ever. Boom. Got him again. Sorry, women. You had it too easy for too long.
You want to try it a third time?
Yeah, well, let me try one more time. Yeah, give me the cue line.
Man, I would just really fuck Sonic's face off.
His face is on the ground, like in the movie Face Off.
None of this is usable.
Here, let's try a fourth time.
Okay.
I would fuck Sonic's face off.
That's my new ringtone.
Please don't fuck my face off.
Real quick, guys, we're heading out. We're going to leave you now. Those of you who are still listening, which I'm sure is a small fraction of those who began this journey with us, but one more time, I just really want to encourage you to go to MaximumFun.org/donate and give anything you can. Is really helpful to our network. I know a lot of people have asked about making one-time donations. If that's all you can do, that is, of course, that money still spends. But Monthly donations are really what help us to be sustainable as a network and help us to budget a lot better.
And even if you feel like you can't do 10, there's a $5 a month level that still gets you all the bonus content and
sure.
everything.
That option is available to you. So MaximumFun.org/donate. Support the stuff you like, because that's the only way that the stuff you like keeps getting created. We are so, 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 so grateful to everybody who gives and thinks this show is worth their money.
I feel like there's usually like some resistance that we see like on Twitter, because we only do this once a year, and so people who join in and haven't heard it before, like, I don't know, they are made uncomfortable by the fact that we ask for money once a year. I guess twice a year, two episodes, but like this year I don't think I've seen any of that. And like that's
no, everybody's been so cool.
Everybody's been so super fucking cool, and you guys have no idea how huge that is to me. So
it really does, like, it makes me legit real world excited every time I see somebody tweet like, so happy to support MBMBAM. Like, thank you.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank John Rotrick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. He'll be at fucking boat party. I won't. Mm-hmm. I'll be at my house just thinking about it. I'll be sitting in a bathtub with a toy boat. Like, it's the same.
Thanks to everybody tweeting about the show, like Candace Pye, Ian Farrell, CL, Jessica Riley, Patty Windsor, Tony Chilton, Eric Neer, friend of the family, Jonathan G. Zuckerman, Natalie Battaglia, Jurillo, Tyler Matheson, The Goog. Everybody, thank you so much. We really appreciate you spreading the word.
Thank you, guys. This final Yahoo was sent in by Rachel Neer, another friend of the family. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user Amanda Lynn Samples, who asks, can my husband use Activia, the yogurt, or is it just for women?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.